It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Welcome to the show. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And another great day. As you can see right behind us, the race at Dover is on right now. And I think maybe the biggest news of that race so far, there's a couple things that have come up during this race. The first thing is that Denny Hamlin lost the left front tire after doing a pit stop. He was going down pit road. The jackman let the car down a little bit too early. The tire changer wasn't done with his pit stop. As he rolls down pit road and exits, his tire comes off. The second biggest story, I think, is Kyle Larson having two. Did I say two? The right side tires of his car went flat. Did you see what happened there, Austin?
It looked like he came off a four and either had a tire going down or the car just stepped out on him and he lost down the front stretch and, you know, result of that, two flat right side tires and an unscheduled pit stop.
Yeah. And it messed up his the top of his fender as he was rolling around,
apart.
Too. Yeah, it came apart. So we'll have to keep an eye on what's going on behind us here today at Dover. Not one of my favorite tracks to watch, to be honest with you. They travel around there so fast. That track just doesn't do anything for me. What about you, Austin?
I really don't have a strong opinion about it. I never really...
You don't really care.
I don't really care at all. I can tell you, like, on iRacing, it sucks. I should have won a truck race last Friday night and ate a right for entire life.
At Dover?
Yeah. But no, it's different just with it being concrete, but, you know, every track's unique in its own way.
So when you drive on iRacing, tell me a little bit about what goes on when you're driving on iRacing and you're running one of those races. How many people are you racing against that are professional racers?
It just depends. You know, you see it a lot in the off season. You'll see, like, I raced with Brian Brown a couple times, Logan Shewhart a couple times. I mean,
Blake Hahn runs a little bit.
Yeah. Race with him every night. So, I mean, you get to see a lot of professional drivers on there, you know, getting laps in during the off season. And, you know, through the summer months, you don't see it as much, but... You know, it's always fun to say you got to race against a professional, and, you know, it's even better when you beat them.
Yeah. But from what I've been told, you're a pretty good iRacer. You know, I hear that from the Hans. They say you're pretty good at that.
Yeah, only if that carried over in the real life sometimes, but
don't go there, because
you didn't
want me to go there.
No, I'm not saying that part, but the way you set the cars up with it being a simulation, it's not as accurate. So there's a lot of exploits in the system that I found, and let's just say I'm a little faster than I should be.
So are you telling me that there's ways to manipulate the iRacing simulator?
If you look at my sprint car at ride height, it should not look the way it does. Let's just say the left front's in the air. It looks like a modified at static ride height, but
really,
it's just a simulation. That's just the way it is. So.
Wow, how about that? Hey, Marvin, we appreciate you checking in from Ohio. We appreciate that. Everybody else checking in with us. There's Marie. Good day, gentlemen. Marie, we can always count on her, can't we?
Yes, we can.
She is like...
We like our regulars.
Is she our number one... listener, do you think?
I think so. We got quite a few that tune in every week.
I know that, but I mean, she's always there every day, and we appreciate you, Marie, so much. You don't have any idea how much we appreciate you. Austin, what about this weekend? Did you watch Spencer Bastin win that race at Bristol?
I did.
What'd you think of that?
You know, a couple shows ago, I think it might have been last week, maybe on Track Talk, I said at some point Baston's gonna kind of break through for his first win of the year. He's been really consistent. He ran the top five at Peevely. The California swing, he was really good. And it was just a matter of time before he kind of broke that top five, top ten run streak and picked up his first win. And I didn't realize that was only his third Outlaw win. But it came on a pretty big stage, and I think he's definitely a contender for the title this year if he can keep up his consistency.
Yeah, Yeah, no doubt. That was a good win for him. That was his third career World of Outlaw win, right?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, it was.
Well, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air. That guy, he's got it going on. He's done well in everything he's ever driven, right?
Yes. I believe he was...
He drove the 39 car for Swindell, right?
Yep. He picked up a couple of wins for Kevin in his wing car, and he ran for Keith Koontz in the USAC Midget Series. I believe he won a Rookie of the Year and a handful of wins. So, yes, he's been very successful in anything he's sat in.
Right. Well, he had a good run. Listen, those last few laps there with Larson, though, they got a little sketchy, didn't they?
It got pretty tight, and, you know, racing at Bristol, running an average of, what was it, 140s that we said last Saturday, you can be aggressive, but you have to be really considerate of who you're racing, and you can't take a chance of crashing somebody, because you crash there, you're going to crash big, and you don't know what can happen if that transpires.
Well, and you know, it was funny that Kyle even mentioned that, didn't he? In his post-race interview, that
he
said, listen, at the speeds we're running around here, we can't make any contact. And but I'm telling you, they were within inches of each other coming up off of turn four that one time. Did you see that, how close they were?
They had that last restart, and Larson, you know, gave it everything he had, because, you know, you get strung out there at Bristol, you got to break your momentum somehow. And he did everything he had to do that, and he just came up a little bit short.
Yeah. That's got to be the biggest win of his career, though, don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it is, just in the fact that it paid $25,000 to win, and it was at Bristol, too.
Yeah. You know, I thought Logan Schuchart was going to be the guy to beat, though, didn't you?
Yeah. After,
for the weekend?
You know, last year in 2021, he rode really fast the first two nights, and, you know, gravel just, you know, outran him a little bit, just had a little bit of an edge on him, and... you know, it's good to see him carry momentum over into night one this year and, you know, finally get a win, because he struggled all year long.
Right.
And it was good to see him get some confidence back in the team and himself. And, you know, it showed last year, the gravel win in both nights, that if you can win the first night and have a good qualifying effort the next night, you're going to be a contender for you know, sweeping the weekend. And he was close, just came up a little bit short.
Wasn't it gravel that swept the weekend last year?
It was.
Yeah. Well, he couldn't have been happy with that fifth place finish, could he?
No, not the weekend he expected, really.
Right.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. It was a good run for Rico, though. He ended up running fourth. That was good for him.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he ended up fourth. I knew he was fast the first night. I just didn't realize kind of where he ended up the second night.
Yeah. I don't know. What did you think overall, the surface and the conditions and everything they had to race? I didn't think it was too bad at Bristol with the sprint cars anyway.
No, it was better than it was last year. You know, you got to see a little bit more racing. The track wasn't as, you know, locked down, I would say.
Yeah.
But when you start racing on tracks that big with that much banking, it's really easy to get spread out and
right.
become a single file race, and not really the type of racing you want to see as a fan, but... it's definitely a spectacle you want to see, but it's not as good as it kind of lived up to the expectations of it.
Right. Do you think they need to go back there next year?
No.
Mm-mm.
I think they got what they wanted out of it for the first 2 years, and the hype's kind of, it's still there, but it's not as good as it used to be, or as it was last year. So I
right.
think, you know, get a race close to it and go somewhere else next year.
Did you watch the late model race at all?
No, I was open wheel all weekend. I watched the Silver Crown race last night, and that was it.
Yeah. That was a pretty good race last night.
It was.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad.
If I was Koontz, though, I wouldn't be too happy with the outcome of that race, leading that race with about four laps to go, then losing it to Justin Grant like that.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Koontz hasn't won a race, a USAC Silver Crown race, and I think it was 8 years.
Is that right?
I think that's what it is. To see, is he a Triple Crown champion? I think he is.
I'm not for sure.
I think he is. And to see someone, you know, like that not win in 8 years is kind of tough to see. But, you know, really who was a big upset was Buddy Kofoid. You know, he fired off really good for the first, like, quarter of the race, and he ran in the top five, and then he got
right.
the lead in the midpoint. And then, unfortunately, he had a right front torsion arm fall off and make contact with
that
the wall.
That could have been really bad.
It could have been bad. But, you know, kind of a shout out to the track crew and Bernie and Scott Wrong for putting up a big guardrail. So they had a couple accidents that tested it, and it did a job and was able to save some drivers.
Did the bar dig into the ground?
I am not 100% sure on what happened with Buddy. The replay missed it, so we just got to see the aftermath of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me they didn't have a replay. I didn't get in and watch that race until the last 20 laps, probably. And that's all I got to see.
It was a good 20 laps. You didn't miss out on much.
No, it was the best part of the race, right? Yeah, yeah. How about that one guy? Who was it that flipped and hit the fence?
Do you remember his name? Yeah, I'll pull that video up.
My goodness, that was a horrifying wreck. And, you know, it busted the fence, the guardrail fence that they had up there. It split it. He hit it right on the seams. And, man, that could have been really ugly right there.
It could have been. His name was Chris Fetter. I got to watch an ad before we get to play this. But, man, he went for a wild ride for racing in the last transfer spot in the B main. It was good to see the Silver Crown cars have a field of 39, which you haven't seen that in years.
Are you putting
years.
This up on the screen?
I'm working on it.
All right. This is an ugly wreck right here. Good thing they had the guardrail wall there, huh?
Yeah, because you'll see it when he goes down into three. He'd be sitting in the pitch right now if it wasn't there.
Watch this right here, folks. Pow! Then watch the fence. The fence separates. You see that? That is an ugly wreck right there. Very, very lucky that they had that new fence there, huh?
Very. Yeah, like I said, he'd be in rough condition right now if it wasn't for that.
Let me ask you, though. Are you a little surprised that fence fell apart like that? I mean, how many times have you seen a car mash the fence up at Knoxville? Have you ever seen that happen?
Yeah, we saw it Saturday night. AJ Mohler hit it pretty hard in the start of the 410 feature.
Did he split he didn't split the fence, though, right?
No, I don't know what's the difference between, you know, Terre Haute or Knoxville's construction of their fence, but yeah, you don't see that very often. But he also hit it right in the seam too, one of the weaker parts of it. So I think all they can do is improve on what they saw this past Sunday.
Yeah. Did you watch any of the All-Star race?
I saw the highlight clip. Cap Henry stole one.
He did. But you know what? I love the track conditions. They were racing all over the place.
They were. It was, well, it got locked down the last couple laps, but, you know, Brent Marks, you don't see him make very many mistakes, and he slipped. Well, the lap cart, it kind of choked him up, and he just slipped the right rear outside the rubber, and that's all it took to open the door up for Cap Henry to come in and steal a win.
Yeah. That was pretty cool, though, wasn't it? I mean, I thought it was, you know, I always root for, like, the underdogs, don't you? Do you ever root for the underdogs? No?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, definitely good stories to be told and root for.
Yeah. Parker Price Miller didn't have a bad run there either. Got a podium finish.
He's been really consistent.
Listen, he's been in the top 10 every race that he's been in this year.
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It is.
Considering what he's going through in life right now. Right?
Yeah.
You think about having to go through all the chemo and all that kind of stuff, and he's been running in. I think he's the only driver in the All-Stars that's ran in the top 10 in every race.
I believe that's true on that stat, but like you said, he's gone through a lot, and you wouldn't think that, one, he'd even be in a race car right now, let alone running in the top 10 and being one of the most consistent cars on the All-Star Tour right now. And, you know, consistency is what wins championships, and I wouldn't count Parker Price Miller out and at the end of the year.
That George Hobaugh, were you surprised that he had that such a good lead there at one point? I think he was out in the lead by 2.5 seconds at one point.
Yeah, well, they kind of, when he got the lap traffic's what kind of backed up his pace. I never heard of him before, and
I hadn't either.
He must be a Pennsylvania local. Probably somebody will correct us, but no, it was interesting to see.
Yeah, he's from PA.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, it was, you know, lap cars are sometimes your friends and sometimes your enemies, and it was his enemy this time.
Yeah, no doubt. A pretty good race, though. I thought the track conditions were pretty good there at Sharon Speedway, didn't you?
Yeah, that place is, you know, really known for being really slick and wide, and you know, if they can get the feature where it doesn't take rubber on the bottom the last, you know, 10, 15 laps, I think it could be a really good race. But, I mean, you don't see a whole lot of tracks that are that slick and, you know, that racy.
Yeah. Well, it was a pretty good race. Chris Windham, he had to come out of the B main to get into the A. That's not unusual, though. We see guys that sometimes just don't have the luck in their heat races, and they have to come out
of the
B,
also,
right?
Well, also, too, this is, what, his fifth or sixth wing race?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, he doesn't have all the experience that, you know, a full-time, you know, wing guy would. But, you know, at least he's making the right moves to make the show and get more laps under his belt. It's just, you know, the more he races with the wing guys, the better he will be. And I think, you know, by the midpoint of the summer or, you know, into the fall, you know, he'll be, you know, walking out, you know, spots, you know, out of the heat race. So it just takes laps, and you never light the world on fire your first go at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. What do you think was the best race out of the two this weekend? Do you think Sharon Speedway with the All-Stars was better than the Bristol race with the World of Outlaws? What do you think? If visually, what was more soothing for your eyes, each one of those races, which one would you pick?
That's kind of tough. I mean,
I'm gonna go with the All-Stars, but
I think so. I think that was one of the best races. Just the way it came down in the lap traffic in the last couple of laps, and right. To see a guy running third with, 10 to go, sneak out and get a win on the last lap is always good to see as a fan.
Right. You know, Marie says, always root for the little guys. Without them, there would be no decent car counts. That's right. You know, I've always said that the most important cars on the racetrack are the guys that run in the middle of the pack and at the back of the pack. Because those guys know, most of them know, that they don't have a chance to win.
Right.
Right? But they show up and they spend the same amount of money as everybody else to come in there and race every week, knowing that most of them don't have a chance to win. Where would you rate that Silver Crown race? Could you put it in there?
Yeah, I think it would be better than the sprint race at Bristol. You know, you got to see.
So you're going All-Stars, Silver Crown race, then Bristol.
Yes. Uh-huh. Just in the fact that you saw, you know, Buddy Kothboy drive through the top five and the top ten to take the lead and drive away until his unfortunate ending to his race. You saw Jerry Coons up there battling for a win, and Cody Swanson was up there along with Justin Grant. I always enjoy watching the Silver Crown cars. I like the history that the series has with them, and
they're just odd looking, those big tail tanks on them, man.
It's weird, but I
would not want to get upside down and flip real hard with one of those big fuel tanks.
Unfortunately, a couple of those guys at Terre Haute got to experience that, but no, yeah. I do not want to be a part of that.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, hey, we got a pretty good show lined up for you. We are going to have Blackjack Brian Brown on. He picked up the win up at Knoxville. Did you see that?
He did. I did see that. Brownie's starting the year off good.
Let me tell you something about Brown. He destroyed them on the restarts.
Oh, he did.
He just killed them. And who was leading the one time? Who was leading and he took the lead on the restart? He did the big slide.
I think it was Matt Jewell.
It was Matt Jewell, the 09 car. Yep. That's what it was. I knew before that start that Brian Brown was going to make that move. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because everybody knows that Brian Brown on a restarts is real aggressive, isn't he?
He is. And yeah. That just comes from racing with the World of Outlaws for so right. many years.
Yeah, no doubt. That was a hell of a race there, too. But Blackjack, every time that they had a restart, Brownie just destroyed him on the restarts, man. I mean, he gapped him about 8 or 9 car lengths, and it was over at that point. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Brian Brown's going to join us here on the show. We'll talk about what happened up at Knoxville. Hey, did you see that was his 57th win up there, and that tied him with Steve Kinser? Did you see that?
I did not know it tied with Steve Kinser. I knew it was his 57th. All right, I'll start this conversation. Do you think Brownie makes it to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame?
Absolutely.
For his accomplishments at Knoxville.
Absolutely.
I think so.
If Brown doesn't get into the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, there's something wrong with the world. That's all I'm going to say. With that, we'll come back with more Mostly Motorsports here in a minute. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. Blackjack Brian Brown joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Welcome to the show, everyone. We want to welcome a good friend of the Racing Boys. He's been a friend of ours for a long, long time. Blackjack Brian Brown picks up his 57th victory up at Knoxville Raceway on Saturday night. Brownie, how you doing, bud?
Doing good. It's always always good to get a win, and you know, always good to talk to you guys on a Monday morning.
Man, I was so happy for you. How about that, man? Tying Steve Kinzer, anytime that you can get in the same category as Steve Kinzer, that's a pretty big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's anytime, you know, you can be mentioned in the same sentence with a hero like that of mine, you know, guy that kind of didn't kind of, he paved the way for younger guys like myself, along with, you know, Sammy and Doug Wolfgang and Danny and, you know, Mark Kinzer, guys like that, you know, gave guys like us an opportunity to race for what we do and the kind of money we do today. So, yeah, never thought I'd ever be mentioned in the same sentence with him, but it's awesome to be able to do that. And, looking forward to try to take another one off as soon as we can get back up there.
Brownie didn't qualify that good. What happened in qualifying?
Yeah, I mean, just probably more than anything with the car or the engine. I just kind of been overthinking that a little bit, just trying to make sure, trying to become better, a better qualifier in some senses, and maybe being trying to be more technical on myself. And you know, normally I just go up there and qualify and go on down the road. But you know, yeah, I've been fourth quick last week and seventh quick this week. Is definitely seventh quick on a weekly show is going to put you about 15th on the Outlaw show. So when the Outlaws are in town, so you can't do that. So I just got to clean that up a little bit and just kind of you know, try to make yourself better. And you realize you have it, and just go back to basics and get to doing what you know has worked in the past.
You know, Brown, one thing for me personally as a fan, I'm not a big fan of watching qualifying, but as a driver, I always excelled at qualifying. I was fast qualifier at I-70 and a lot of great things in qualifying for me as a driver. But talk about driving a sprint car and the mindset of going out there and qualifying and what you have to do. Do you throw caution to the wind? Just tell me what your mindset is when you go into qualifying.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're just trying to look at the track and, you know, and see there's times that it's faster to qualify at Knoxville around the top. You know, there's times it's faster to qualify around the bottom, and there's times it's faster to be one at one end and one at the other. So, you know, really you're just kind of watching, you know, hot laps are pretty self-explanatory usually. And then once, you know, you get into qualifying, there's usually a little bit of a break between the 410 hot laps and the 410 qualifying with 305s and the 360s qualifying. So the track does change. So you have to pay attention to what's going on and just watch other cars and what they do, you know, where they ran and you know, was there a time difference and when a guy went to the bottom or when he moved around. So it's not as simple as just run around there and run wide open and, you know, and don't miss your marks. Knoxville can get slick on the entries to qualifying. And when you hit the bottom, sometimes you just got to make sure you keep your car nice and straight and don't get your wheels out from underneath it and things like that. So, there are times at Knoxville that qualifying is somewhat easy. And then there are times at Knoxville where it's very, very technical. And if you go down there and you miss it by, you know, a quarter of a car length, you're going to scrub off 2 or 3 tenths of a second, which could be the difference of being quick time and being 10th quick. So, it's very, very technical. Everything's technical this day and age, man. It's like there's everything you touch or you do with your car, you're driving is better be spot on because there's guys next to you that are working just as hard or harder than you are. You have to keep plugging away at it.
You know, Jason Johnson told me one time that every time you pull, that steering wheel, that cost you a 10th out on the racetrack. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, he's spot on. I mean, it's back when I was growing up, my grandpa, he would say every time you turn your wheels, a 10th of a second. So 10th here, 10th there, 10th there. Next thing you know, you're down 3 tenths. And what's made me a great qualifier at Knoxville or a big half miles sometimes hurts me on the small tracks where I don't try to wrestle the wheel around enough to get my car to do. I try to drive it more straight. So, you know, it's just you got to weigh them out. Sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't. You know, normally we've been a good qualifier at Knoxville. And, like I said, we just gotta get back to basics there. And, there's some things you work on when you're driving or your car and you look in yourself in the mirror and say, are we getting better or worse? And our qualifying is getting worse compared to what it was, you know, last year up there.
Hey, I'm just going to say it. Blackjack Brian Brown is going to figure it out, right? You're going to figure this out. There's not going to be a problem. You're going to get right back to qualifying up there towards the top of the sheet. We know that. It's just a matter of time before you do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing that's going on with my car or my engine. It's more of what's going on. I mean, I can say, hey, man, I did not make a good lap either, or I've qualified four laps up there and have not made a good lap one lap. So, yeah. And to be fourth and seven quick just says how good my car and my engines are. So, yeah, it's no pain, no gain, and we're looking to make gains. And everything we do is built around, you know, makes us better. You know, the most important race of the year is the one we're racing was the Saturday, and the next important one is Friday at Eldora. So, right. We're looking forward to getting back at it.
Yeah, Matt Jewell, on that restart, do people know? I guess most people know, don't they? If I know it, most people know it, that you're really aggressive on those restarts. And I knew exactly what you were going to do on that restart when Matt Jewell was leading and you guys came down. You put that big old slide on him right there. Talk about your mindset on restarts and the way you approach them, and knowing most people know that you're going to be aggressive on the restarts.
Yeah, I try to be. I try to be aggressive on every start, you know, just – aggressive but smart. I'm not don't want to tear my stuff up or somebody right. else's stuff. But yeah, I try to be aggressive as I can. And it was a little bit different on Saturday there. There was 50 mile an hour gust of wind.
Oh wow.
So the way the wind was blowing, when you would go into turn one and two, it'd want to take your car across the track. You know, almost crashed Austin McCarl in the heat race. You know, on accident, my car just went in and it just took off across the track and almost ran into the side of him. Normally that wouldn't have happened. It was just normal conditions. So that was in the back of my mind of knowing, hey, I've got to have a good enough run to be able to clear him in case my car does take back off across the track. And if you noticed on the first start, I wasn't close enough. So I kind of just protected against the guy behind me, but I kind of just thought through my mind rolling around there on the caution of, okay, what did he do here? How did he take off? You know, whatever. And just, okay, how am I going to capitalize on what he's doing or not doing? And I was able to get a good enough run and get across there and get the lead. But yeah, it's normally, you know, you could just run that thing in there and just sail across if you get a good enough run. But you know, having that wind like that, I mean, it was wanting to blow you into Hy-Vee parking lot or blow you into Casey's gas station on in one and two, but in three and four is wanting to spin you out. So, yeah, it was definitely playing a big role. A lot of people complaining and a lot of jitters of just going 130 mile an hour with, you know, with the wind blowing you around like that. It's not fun, but, you know, that's why we get paid. We have to. Not always going to be fun. It's going to be uncomfortable at times.
You got to get out of your comfort zone once in a while when you drive a race car, right? If you don't, you're not going to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, I felt like that in the heat race. You know, I come in, I was like, man, we won the heat from fourth, but I just felt very inconsistent on what my car was acting or how it was doing. It just wasn't a consistent 8-lap heat race, and I felt like I was not. But I think a lot, like it was just the wind, and you know, I think once I figured out what I needed to do driving wise to battle the wind or at least push back on what it was doing to my car, I think we were okay. It's just you have to adapt, mm-hmm. no matter what. It's still got two pedals and a steering wheel and four wheels and a wing and two wings, so you have to adapt on what your car is doing. And it's not going to be perfect, and it's going to do things. But the guy that can adapt the quickest is usually going to get paid.
Right. Brownie, on those restarts, I don't know, you're just so good at restarts, but that you gapped them so bad on those restarts. I don't know if you went back and watched the video of the race or not, but man, you gapped them so bad on those restarts, they really didn't have a chance to run you down at the end of the race.
Yeah, and I think it's just, you know, changing up your restarts and doing things just to make sure you get going. I think that's key. You know, I've raced her a lot, so I know kind of what to do and what not to do. And if, you know, what based on the conditions of the track of where I need to take off, do I need to take off on the top or take off on the bottom? There's just things that over time you learn. And on a restart especially, if you can get a good start, it makes it very, very difficult for those guys to get into turn one and make a move on you. So just the better you can get going down the front straightaway, and you know, it just gives you less of an opportunity to become under fire. And a lot of it too is like, man, it's like, yeah, Brian, he does good on it. He's a very good restart, but you have to have your engines have to take off. Your shocks have to grab the track. You know, your tires have to grab the track. You it's not just stand on the gas and run wide open. You're always using the brake and the throttle to make sure you don't spin your tires. There's a lot that goes into that, not just, God, he's good at restarts. I mean, I feel like I am decent at restarts, but a lot of things have to go into play. If your motor stumbles, you're not going to be good on starts or restarts, period. Right. So, I mean, our Charlie Garrett engines, Danny works real hard with Charlie to make sure they don't stumble. And, you know, they take off very well. And it's a huge advantage for me.
It's a package, really.
1,000%.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Going to Eldora this weekend, talk about that place. And, man, you really got to set your stuff up on the dash of one of these sprint cars. I say dash. That's just a figure of speech, right? But that's a place that really gets your attention when you're going around there.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's a place that we've had. I think we have run second 5 times there. We were second twice there during the King's Royal Week last year. I mean, it's just a place that fits my style and with our package. So some people don't like it. Danny's not a fan of it, my crew chief. But I love it. I mean, it's a place that we've had success. You know, and hopefully the weather doesn't look too great right now, but hopefully that changes later in the week. And you know, like I said, Danny and Ty and Justin and my dad and my grandpa, we had a very, very busy week last week for having really not the race or no crash. We just went through a lot of preparation brought a different car to Knoxville, a lot of different preparation, a lot of measuring and just making sure we were unloaded good. And, a couple nights we were here at 11:00 at midnight during the week. And, those guys didn't complain. They just kept plugging along and, I got a very good team, and you win your races in the shop on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, not Saturdays. And you know, you got to be prepared, and especially anymore, even more prepared than ever. And it's good to have guys that want to be a part of your program, and very, very lucky to have 4 or 5 guys that all believe in one goal.
You know, I noticed that Danny come over there and was talking to you during that fuel break. What was he telling you during that point?
Yeah, I mean, the guy's won 112 races there, and, you know, there's really no kind of scene or no kind of something that can happen that he hasn't seen. And he just gives me just, hey, like, what you're doing is good, or your restarts are good, or restarts suck, or whatever. I mean, it's basically just giving me a reassurance that what I'm doing is fine. And you know, at that particular point, it was fuel only, so it was no adjustments. So it wasn't basically, he couldn't do anything to help me or fix a problem that I was having or whatnot. But there wasn't, at that point, I may have made a few minor adjustments, but nothing major. My car felt very good in the A main, as good as I felt in a long time there. And, I felt like, but what got my car feeling good there was what the work we put in the shop. It just wasn't unloaded and it was good. Like, we put the work in to figure out some things in the shop, some issues we were having and what could make us better. And we put pen to paper, and then we put it into the track, and it worked. And that's a good feeling, knowing that what you found in the shop then turned into results on the track.
Yeah. All right. We're going to, you know, this is mostly motorsports, so we don't always talk about motorsports. I got to ask you about our Chiefs yesterday, this weekend, and the draft. Were you happy?
Yeah, man. There's some gaps that we had in our team, and, you know, Brett Veach is a magician, and to get those guys we got in the first round when they fell to the first round to a little later, and they were drafted up, and I think that was awesome to get a good corner, and a starting outside lineman there, interior lineman there, and then, you know, obviously Sky Moore to take Tyreek Hill's spot. So yeah, it was great, man. It's like when Danny's working on my race car, I really don't sweat it too much because I know it's going to be pretty close. And when Beach is drafting for you, you know he's making the right moves, and may not make sense on paper, but when it gets to the field, I'm sure it's going to be spot on.
All right, so I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to predict it in for the future of the Kansas City Chiefs. Watch that running back we picked up in the 7th round.
What was his name?
I can't even pronounce it. It's such a weird name. I can't even pronounce his name. But I'm telling you, from what I've read and what I've listened to with some of the analysts that talk about him, they think he's going to be a big deal for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I think that's where Veach does his magic, is just finding
those late rounds. A lineman,
we had Trey Smith, we got him in the sixth round last year, and he started all 16 or 17
right.
games. So I just think that you give him a gun with 12 bullets, and he's going to hit the target 8 or 9 times, I feel like. So
yeah,
I feel like I'm excited. The Royals are kind of fading a bit, but part of it's growing pains, and I know they're working hard.
The Royals need to get hits. They're just not hitting the ball. They've stayed close in the games, but there's some games they've lost 1-0, and they can't hit the ball. That's the problem, I think, right now. Don't you think?
In baseball, you have to score runs if you want to win.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's kind of the point of the game. You have to hit the ball and score runs. And like I said, it's I didn't figure they would be contending this year. I figured it was going to be one more year, but I still feel that way. Hopefully they can just stay competitive enough to keep everybody excited about them, and I think they will. So it's a good time to be a Kansas City sports fan. A lot of exciting stuff going on, and I feel like exciting stuff for our team. We're a Kansas City sports team, I feel like, too, and just proud to represent Kansas City and Missouri and do things that hopefully make the Kansas City racing fan base proud of our team. So we're just try to do our part.
Yeah. Brownie, I appreciate you coming on the show today to talk about your Knoxville win. That is such an impressive win, 57th win up there. I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm sure you've been asked it before. Do you think there's any chance that you could catch Dude with the all-time wins?
Heck no, man. I'm not going to be able to race Tom 80.
Right.
He's obviously put a number on the board that's obviously not going to be probably ever reached. You know, he was back in the day, he'd win 10 or 12 features a year there. I mean, so it's like, you know, but to quite honestly, man, like I never dreamed I never thought I would win one race there. I just, man, if I could ever just run a lap around Knoxville in a race car, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So to win 57 times is a dream every time you go into victory lane. And, you know, if we can just, but they're not, I don't take them for granted. They're not easily earned, you know, and just because you won last week doesn't mean nothing for, you know, it's Monday's a new day, doesn't mean nothing for this coming week. So you have to keep working hard. And if we can do that, hopefully we can get 58 and just keep going on the line. If we could somehow ever get to number two and have Danny be number one and me number two, that'd be pretty special for us and our family. But if we don't get there, 57 still a good number that we've been able to do throughout our career.
I think if you win two more, that ties you with, I can't remember who they said it was. Do you know who that is?
I don't know who that is. I honestly, like, they say that stuff and
goes in one ear and out the
other. I really don't look at it. I know Danny's got 112 or 15 or something, so it's like until you get to 115, you really haven't done.
It doesn't matter.
Really haven't. Second. There's really probably nobody who says, "Oh, I want to be second." I mean, I don't, but it's, I know probably first is not obtainable. So
yeah,
we're just lucky. Lucky we have great partners. You know, like Casey's an FVP. You know, it was good to get Andy's frozen custard in victory lane Saturday for the first time. So. You know, you're not going to win one race if you don't have people believing in you. And we have a great team with my crew guys and then great partners that believe in us. And like I said, they allow us to go race at Eldora this weekend and chase our dreams. And really all it is, those people believe are letting me go chase are allowing me to go chase our dreams. And I'm a very, very lucky guy.
What is your favorite Andy's frozen custard flavor?
They just brought back last Wednesday. They have a strawberry shortcake.
Oh, really?
So, it's a seasonal deal where they have strawberries and then they have the warm shortcake. It's pretty unbelievable. I have to send some coupons down the old Racing Boys way and see if we can see what you guys think.
We'd love that, Brownie. Thanks again for taking the time to join us on the show. You know, when you win, expect your phone to ring on Monday because we want to talk to you about all the wins that you win up there at Knoxville this year. I got a feeling this is going to be a great year for you, my friend.
Yep, I'm hoping so, and I appreciate all you guys do. You're doing a good job with your show, and I'm a big, big Racing Boys fan, and proud to be a part of it in a small way.
All right, thank you, Brownie. We appreciate you.
See, See you guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. There you go. There's Blackjack Brian Brown. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. we want to remind everybody, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, I don't know if you guys have heard what's going on up there and what's getting ready to take place up there, but they're going to have an Ascot Speedway tribute, and that tribute's going to start on May 1st and run through October 31st. It is May 1st. One of these days, Austin, I'll get through this live read and I won't stumble all over myself. Anyway, it's May 1st through October 1st, and it's going to be inside the museum. It's going to have all kinds of stuff that you can learn about the drivers, and they're going to have some cars there that are still in existence from Ascot Park. And they're going to have T-shirts, posters, all kinds of great things about Ascot Park up there. Man, if you haven't heard about Ascot Park, you don't know anything about Ascot Park. It's one of the all-time greatest sprint car tracks in the country. Unfortunately, it's not, doesn't exist anymore. And that's what's so cool about the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum putting on this exhibit about Ascot Speedway. It was in Gardena, California. And again, they're going to have T-shirts and posters and cars and information about the drivers that ran there. And one thing that you can always count on about the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, they're open 24/7, 7 days a week. I said that 24/7, didn't I? Is that right?
The online store is open 24/7.
One of these days, Austin, I'm going to start letting you read this.
Oh, okay.
You could probably do it better than me. Anyway, remember the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open year-round. You can go there Monday through Sunday. It's open every day of the week. And if you can't get there in person, you can always go to SprintCarStuff.com. That's www.SprintCarStuff.com. And you can buy anything that you want that's in the store, again, at SprintCarStuff.com. So go up and visit the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, would you? We want to thank Bob Baker for being great supporters of the Racing Boys all these years. He's a great friend of ours. He's from Kansas City. Good guy, man. Really good guy. And nobody does it better than Bob Baker up there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. All right, so you found out Doug Wolfgang is the second all-time winningest driver at Knoxville with 60 wins, right?
Yes. So Danny Lozowski is 112 wins. Doug Wolfgang second at 60. Terry McCarl third at 59. Steve Kinzer is tied with Brian Brown for 57.
So Brownie, all he's got to do is pick up a few more wins, and he's going to be the second all-time winningest driver.
Yeah. Wins four more times. Actually, yep, four more times, and he should be second. I think you could see Brown be number two by the end of the year.
Let's do this. How many races do you think Brian Brown's going to win at Knoxville before it's all said and done? When he is done with his career, how many do you think he's going to have? Let's predict right now. Let's do a little prediction. I'm going to say, you want me to go first?
Yeah, let me think about this.
All right.
You already kind of know what you're going to say.
I do. I kind of know what I'm going to say. I think Brown is going to win 73 races at Knoxville Raceway.
Okay.
He's in his
early 40s.
So he's getting a little long in the tooth.
He still has about, I'm going to say, 5 to 8 years left.
Good years of him running up front.
Because he said he doesn't want to race really forever. I mean, he knows that at some point he has to call it quits.
Right, right. I want to know what people think on our Facebook page that are watching the show right now. How many races do you think Blackjack Brian Brown is going to win when his career is all said and done up at Knoxville Raceway? I want everybody to chime in right now. Give me a number, what you think. I say 73. Anybody else up in the 70s?
I'm going to say 80.
80. Marie says 65 wins. You're cutting him a little bit short there, aren't you, Marie? I think he'll win more than 65.
Yeah, I mean, he averages, what, 3 to 5 wins up there every year.
Austin says 70. David Hall, Frog, says 78. John says 85. How about that? Chuck Taylor says 70. Wow, Murray says 80. I don't know if he'll get to 80.
I think if he can continue 5 years of winning 3 to 5 races a year, he can get to that 70 to 80 range.
Caleb says 81 races. So there's a lot of people believing Blackjack Brian Brown is going to win. Dave Tyson, 81 wins for Brian Brown, he says. Now, listen, if Dave Tyson says that, I kind of buy into what Dave says because that guy knows a thing or two about a thing or two. Jerome says 80 minimum. So there's a lot of people that think Blackjack Brian Brown's going to win 80 races.
Yeah. Don't let us down, Brian.
Don't let us down, Brian. The pressure is on now, right? What, Austin?
Yes.
So, what do you think? You think that Blackjack Brian Brown's going to run up in the top five this weekend at Eldora? It's a tough assignment, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think he went there last year.
He's got 5 second places there.
Yeah, like you said, he said that, and then he went down there last year with Danny, and you know, Danny has plenty of experience with at Eldora with the Outlaws, and you know, they ran really good last year, and they've had good chemistry since they joined back together. And I think, you know, Brian's exceptional in half miles, so.
He's really good on the big tracks,
he,
man.
He is.
He is,
you know,
so good.
You catch that night where the air's just right and him and Danny are clicking really good and the car's good, and I think he could pick up a win or pick up a top five. You could never count Brian out on a half mile, especially Eldora.
Were you a little surprised that he said Danny Lasoski doesn't like Eldora? Were you a little surprised about that, considering his relationship with Tony Stewart?
I was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that really doesn't affect, you know, if you like the track. It's just people's, you know, opinion and preference.
Yeah,
I guess.
Caleb says, I predict 7th and 8th at Eldora this weekend. I think he can run in the top 10. You know, he's exceptional on those big, big, fast tracks, man. I mean, that's you know what he always does? Blackjack always kicks himself in the balls when he talks about short tracks, doesn't he?
Yes.
Why is that? Why doesn't he try to talk and be confident about wherever he races, he can be good at?
No, and you're exactly right. But, you know,
he's good.
He's grown up and built his career around half miles. And that's, you know, I don't want to say you break habits when you go from a half mile to a short track, but there's things you have to do different. And, you know, he has so many laps and has it down to muscle memory on the half mile stuff. And you're just trying to learn, and he doesn't run a whole lot on short tracks, so
it's, you know, just not his thing.
No, it's not. I think if he ran, you know, more short track stuff and wasn't, you know, loyal to Knoxville, that he would be better. But, you know, also he has a good program going, you know, where he's at right now.
Tom says he's beat before he starts on short tracks. I'm with you,
yeah.
Tommy. I think it's a psychology thing. I think it's all in his head. He just needs to get it out of his head, though. But, you know, I remember down at Lake Ozark Speedway when he had that bad heat race. Remember that? It was real rough down there that night. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember how rugged it was there?
I remember.
Oh, you got upside down that night, too, didn't you?
Yes.
Did you get upside down twice?
Yes.
In one night?
No, twice in a weekend.
Oh, twice in the weekend. That's what it was. I knew you got upside down twice.
I'll start calling you Kirk.
Hey. No, don't call me Kirk.
No.
Come on.
Kirk always likes to remind me of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's just how Kirk is.
Oh, yeah.
But he's a great guy.
Yes.
You can't beat Kirk. Just like Blake on big tracks, but Blake is getting better. You know, he runs pretty good up there at Knoxville now. He knows how to roll the bottom pretty good, Blake Hahn does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toughest thing to do is learn the bottom at Knoxville.
I think they stumbled across something one time, and they figured something out how to get around the bottom a little bit better, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's correct, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, all right, Austin, is your motor done yet?
I'll find when I leave here.
Are you going to call
today? Phone call is going down there. We'll see. We'll see.
So, are we going to have to let you off a day so you can drive down there and pick it up?
I hope. I hope that's the case. Mm-hmm. We'll find out. Mm-hmm. I don't know where. Humble got canceled Friday, so I don't know where I'll end up if I get it this weekend. So,
was there another race anywhere else?
Yeah, Park Jefferson, South Dakota. So
you don't want to go all the way up there.
No, and if anybody knows around here that has a sprint car race local or close to Missouri, let me know.
Park Jeff, you'll just burn up some tires up there.
Oh, right? I know.
I'm just telling
you. I know. That's the only place to go right now unless somebody else knows of somewhere else to go.
You're so jonesing to drive a sprint car right now. You're just like, you've been running this modified, and I know that it's a modified, right?
Yes.
But you're dying to drive your sprint car right now, right?
Yeah, I've talked about it before. We got the best car we've ever had, and you know, the best momentum we've ever had, and it's just sitting there in the shop.
Caleb says, "Why don't you go down and run double X?"
We might do that too.
That's not a bad place.
Actually, I forgot they're racing. Yeah. Actually, last night was opening night, so yeah, I'll have to think about that.
Alan Miller, I gotta put this out there, right? Alan Miller says, "Austin, could you see anything in front of you at Lakeside on Sunday?"
No, I could not. I couldn't see the dash. That's how bad it was.
You couldn't see the dash?
No. But hey, remember on the show last week when the news came out about racing on a Sunday? Was it Friday that we found out?
We knew what was going to happen.
I told you it was going to take forever and be dusty.
Hold on.
You didn't want to agree with me.
No, hold on. Did you burn up your tires?
Oh, yeah.
Junk?
Yeah. They're done. What do you expect? I mean.
David Frog Hall says Blake's fast at Lakeside when he's his road gear is in. What's that mean, road gear in?
I don't know.
Does that mean when you got the big tall gear in there?
Probably.
Yeah, maybe. Well, that's too bad that you couldn't see it there. That's frustrating when you go to a racetrack and you can't see your dash.
Yeah, I've never had that happen before. But, I mean, what do you expect?
I've been to a race where I couldn't even see me. I went down to the Sedalia State Fair one time, and I think it was 93, and I drove a Sportsman late model down there. And I'll never forget coming up off of turn two, and it was so dusty that I couldn't see anything. I just kept it to the floor and hope I came out on the other end without hitting anybody.
We'll start calling you Cold Trickle.
Cold Trickle, same thing. All right, Austin, I appreciate you, buddy. I hope you get your motor this week. I would love to be able to say Austin's not here this week because he's got to go pick up his motor. That would be a great thing.
Yeah, it'd make my life a lot easier.
Your car's ready to go, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, you just...
I've wiped it down 6 times now. I can only wipe it down so many times.
Sedalia was always a dust bowl. That's right, for sure, Austin. All right, we're going to bug out of here. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. Again, don't forget to go up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and check out the new Ascot tribute that's going to be up there from May 1st to October 1st. It'll be inside the museum. Again, they're going to have all kinds of memorabilia up there. They're going to have cars. They're going to have T-shirts. Going to have all kinds of things, and it's going to be a great tribute to Ascot Park in Gardena, California. Go up there and check it out. Again, that's going to start on May 1st and go through October 1st to be inside the museum. And again, we want to thank Bob for coming on board with us here on Mostly Motorsports. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time, right here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.